Let's open up the scriptures, shall we? 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. So the title of this talk is Troublous Times, which we appear to be in now. So we'll give a little bit of a story here. Back in the nation of Israel, don't actually know who the king was. I think it was Joash, but 2 Kings chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria, Samaria being the capital of Israel at the time. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So you can imagine this, the city of Samaria has been besieged. So that the armies of Syria surrounded the city so that nothing could come in or out. And as a result of that, things are hard to find, hard to get, and so the price of whatever's available goes through the roof. As it says there, two examples, just an ass's head, which doesn't have much food, a cab of dove's dung, which will be used as fuel to cook, just so exorbitantly expensive. Go over to chapter 7 and read in verse 1. Then Elisha, who was a man of God, said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." So Elisha here is predicting that the next day it'll be completely different. The fine flour, 2 measures of barley, this is good food that you can you'll make good bread with and feed the family with, will be back to normal. Things will be stabilized only the next day. Verse 2, "Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leant, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, this, and then Elisha said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians, go to the army of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." So they're just weighing things up. Whether we stay here and do nothing, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. So we may as well go over to the Syrian army. They have lots of food. If they reject us, we're going to die anyway. But if they don't, we're going to live. You know, it's just at this desperate place. Verse 5, "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. The camp was completely deserted. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to fear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they were, it was great. It was a great decision to make. They had all this food, all this drink, all this money, clothes and all these things that they found in these deserted tents. And then they felt bad, you know. Why is it that we can take part in these things and Israel in Samaria are hungry? And they think, oh, well, let's go and tell the king's household. You know, let him know what's happened and what's available. Verse 10, so they came and called unto the porter of the city, or the gatekeepers, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. So send out these people, these five people on horseback, to see what it was all about. Verse 14, they took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. The Jordan River was quite a way away from Samaria, and it was in the pathway of going back to Damascus. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoilt the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful deliverance. We're talking about before the meeting, there's many things that I could have read in the Old Testament about how the Lord had miraculously delivered his people from whatever situation they're in. And so here, you know, there's, you know, today, I heard mentioned before the meeting as well, it's very surreal what's going on at the moment. We're not sure what's going to happen further down the track. We go to supermarkets and the aisles are all empty because people are buying bulk, worried about what's going to happen. And you can imagine at the time in Samaria as well, they go to the supermarket there, all the shelves are all empty, and whatever's left, they're just worth so much money. And so that's why that ass's head, which has very little food, was sold for so much. But the people of God just needed to trust him, and he will deliver his people of God. And there was one person there, it was the Lord on whose hand the king leant. He doubted it. He doubted, like, surely, how are we going to be delivered from this place? Will the windows of heaven open? You know, being really cheeky and sarcastic. And you can read later that he never actually beheld, his eyes beheld it, but didn't partake of the blessing. So we, as Spirit-filled Christians today, we know God is a miraculous working God. We know he's got everything in hand. We know that these are signs of times. You know, it says, we all know of the scriptures, there's pestilences and so forth, famines in the last days. And I believe the last days aren't just the lifetime of a person. I mean, the last days have been going on for about 100 years. You know, you look back at the last 100 years and the things that have been going on in the last 100 years are phenomenal. And we are amongst the last days. So we expect the Lord to return. And we know the Lord will look after us and deliver us. Even if we see the shelves in the supermarket empty we don't need to worry. He cares for us. Now, for completeness, we'll go to Malachi chapter 3. Because this Lord on whose hand the king leant actually quoted a scriptural principle there. Malachi chapter 3. And it's something we need to remember as well in our mindset. Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is an interesting book. It's got some really good, firm principles about the kingdom of God in it. And here's one here, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, there's that windows of heaven. God will open for us the windows of heaven, you know, as that Lord referred to. But we look for it with hope, knowing he can do that. And then the flow-on effect is a great blessing. He'll pour out a great blessing where we'll be stunned. There won't be room to receive it, amazed at what God's done. And there'll be where he'll push away the devourer for our sakes. Those that want to devour what we have and the blessing that we have, he'll push that away. And so that, you know, the fruits of our ground or what we do, they'll bear fruit. And we will be continually blessed. And it says there, for you shall be a delightsome land. You know, we're spiritual, and so our spiritual life will be a delightsome land. It'll be a good and pure thing, and others will behold that. Wow, these are people that are blessed, you know, that he cares for his people. So that's why it's a great opportunity now to get out there and spread the gospel and tell others that, wow, there's some great things that they can be a part of also. Luke chapter 21, and here it is here. Luke 21 and verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations. You know, that there's that confusion. What do? The nations are perplexed with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. That sea is the people and the waves roaring. There's instability there. There's no calm. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And that's so well written there. Men's hearts failing them for fear. You know, a person's heart who was strong and bold in times of calm, but now with all this distress of nations and perplexity and so forth, their hearts just fail them for fear. What's going to happen? You know, it's a natural response. And in verse 27, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Keep your eyes focused on God's ways. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word is permanent. You know, the earth, you know, the trees, the animals, the buildings, you know, whatever those things will pass away, but his word will always remain. And that's why we rely so heavily on the word. And his word says here, you know, do not be afraid, like just know that they are the signs of the times. The fig tree is blossoming. And, you know, we can see that. We can understand when the fig tree is blossoming, we know that summer is at hand. We see these things around like a blossoming. We know that there is something at hand. You know, that the return of Jesus Christ is at hand. And for us to lift our heads, you know, for our redemption draws nigh, to look at him. His ways, the spiritual ways, are not our own. And praise the Lord, we can do that through the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 6. Got a few scriptures to go through today. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Hebrews 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So this immutable thing, God cannot lie. What he says is truth. God is truth. You know, it's actually impossible for God to tell an untruth. And so we can have comfort there. It says strong consolation for those who have fled for refuge. Okay, fled for refuge in this spiritual place that is fenced. And we are at refuge. We know that we're protected. God protects us from things that's happening around us. So we flee to this place of refuge and hold upon the hope that's set before us. You know, this great hope that we'll be raised up to meet him in the air, that God's got it all in hand. There's that great hope that passes all hope. But then it goes on and refers to entering within the veil. It's like that's that refuge in within the veil is the place of refuge. And it's referring to the temple in the Old Testament times where you had the main part of the temple and then behind the veil was the holiest of holies place where the seat was, the mercy seat, and that's where God dwelt. And it was only one person every year that could go in there with sacrifice. But it says here that we have entered into the holiest of holies. We have the Holy Spirit. It's like we're in the presence of God, spiritually speaking. We can't see it with our own eyes. We can experience stuff and know that God's working with us, but we can't actually see it with our carnal eyes. So God's word, God cannot lie, so it's a fact that we are in this refuge within the veil, close to God, you know, as his own children. And then it goes on, like verse 20, it says, the forerunner, you know, the person that went before us into this refuge, he entered in, that's Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner. He was the priest after the order of Melchizedek, chosen to tear the veil, to open it up for us. And so we have this wonderful place of refuge, this spiritual place where we can dwell with God. We just have to look up and rely on him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that is our place of refuge, our place of comfort. Strong comfort, strong consolation. There's all these waves breaking around us, but there's stillness in the veil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, it's just wonderful for Paul to be able to write that to the church at Thessalonica. He's saying, look, as touching brotherly love, I don't need to teach you anymore. You know, you've got that in hand. You understand that you've been taught of God to love one another. What a great place to be in. You know, if God can look at us here and say, look, I don't need to teach you anymore about brotherly love. You've got it sorted. You know, you care for each other so much. You know, you're all of one mind and it's a great place to be in. And verse 10, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you look to be better and grow more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, like outside of the kingdom of God. And that you may have lack of nothing. So that there, important. So it gives this advice, Paul here is asking the Spirit-filled church, you know, to study to be quiet, go about your own business, work with your own hands, you know. But then what's wonderful about that, verse 12 says, look, if you do that, look at what God's going to do for us. You know, if you walk honestly toward them that are without, those that we're being a testimony for, that know not the kingdom of God, as a result of that, you may lack nothing. Okay? So, yeah, we walk into a supermarket and the shelves are empty. There's a great promise here. If we study to be quiet, do our own business, work with our own hands, walk honestly. We're not trying to take things from other people. You know, we will lack nothing. God will provide. His own children will not need to beg bread. These are promises that are in the Bible. His word is yea and amen. And that we have still have this brotherly love, You know, like we can read about not vain glory, not puffing ourselves up and thinking about ourselves and holding things back from everyone else, but we love and help everyone, and then we will lack nothing. So we just carry on as we always have. Just because times are uncertain now and we're not quite sure what's going on, we can still have comfort that God's got it all in hand, and that we just carry on as we always have and we'll lack nothing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance. You know, remind each other about these things, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Here's this study thing. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So here's that study thing again. So we're all at a point now where we need to dig in. You know, we need to lock on and spend that extra time to read our Bibles, pray to the Lord, have that individual prayer, study to show yourself approved so that we understand things. We understand what's going on and we have great comfort then. Think, you know, we're reading the Bible and continually being reminded that God's got it all in hand. We can rely on him, that we will not lack. He cares for us and he does answer prayer. But for us to consciously shun profane and vain babblings, those things that are contrary to what's written in the scriptures, the encouraging things. Look at these times as a time of opportunity. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So there's effort involved, you know, to look at our own salvation with fear and trembling, to study, learn more, more and more reassured, keeping in touch with people. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Looks very similar to the fruit of the Spirit there. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. We've been called to eternal life, so lay hold on that, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, or makes all things alive, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Even before Pontius Pilate, when he was falsely accused, he still upheld his testimony. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. So we lay these things up. We carry on doing these things. We're not trusting in uncertain riches. And the reason I brought that out now, the riches of this earth are very uncertain now. Like in businesses, they're not sure what's going to happen. It's I'm just talking to Lynn before the meeting and how things have just changed so much because of the restrictions on the gathering of people for events. And that's an uncertain rich. So for decades, you may have had this certainty. And now, this, It's uncertain. So God here is encouraging us not to trust in uncertain riches. Something that seemed certain is now not certain. So let us trust in what is certain, and that is the living God. And let us lay up treasure in heaven, which leads to eternal life. As it says, they're laying up in store for themselves a good foundation, which is solid, and it's not built on uncertainty. And it's built on the ways of the Lord and that faith and knowing that we will not lack. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God called us for a purpose. God went to all the trouble to send his son to die for us. He wants us to be there when his son returns, to dwell with him forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And I often think that, all of us sitting here can be bound to give thanks to God for everyone in this assembly. Like, praise the Lord. We have this group of great spirit-filled people here in Bunbury where we can rely on them, and they're walking in spirit and truth, and they can expound the scriptures and encourage us. You know, people that are determined to follow God's ways. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. There's sanctification, that just means a separation. When we receive the Spirit, we are separated. We are separated to God and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. There's that consolation again. Everlasting comfort and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So there in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught. You know, grab hold of them and know them. Let them sink deep in you so that you know what to say when people ask of the hope that lies within you. You have studied to show yourself approved. You can bring the scriptures out to explain and draw the picture together to explain about the kingdom of God and what a great place it is. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's that confidence, full assurance of faith. Look, my faith has been proven worthy. God has been answering my prayer. When I called out to the Lord to receive the Spirit, he graciously gave it to me. So we've always got that to draw upon. We can draw near with a true heart in full assurance that God answers prayer, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it's odd for me to read that. I only read it out a week and a half ago. But it's odd to read that out now when we are kind of scattered as a result of the coronavirus, and we're restricted in coming together. And there's very good advice that's given out. If you're sick, just stay away. You know, if you're elderly, if you're vulnerable, stay away. We give that advice unashamedly. But this is a scriptural principle, and where it comes in more starkly for us now, it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the return of Jesus Christ. So how do we read that today? Well, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, keep in touch, keep talking. We will be broadcasting meetings, regardless if we meet in here or not. We will be broadcasting. So you have to go to that extra effort to log in, and your own personal reading, being in touch through whatever means it is, phone calls, WhatsApp. That's the whole not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We have to put extra effort in. That's the whole holding fast, being steadfast, throwing the anchor in and being immovable, so that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's not an opportunity to say, whoop, okay, they're not running meetings, that means I can go off and do my own thing. That's not the opportunity, it's the flip side. No, I've got to be more careful now. I've got to be so much more careful and grab hold of every moment I can, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So put in that little bit of extra effort, get that that food, and know that we are still part of a close-knit fellowship here in Bunbury. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. And keep getting this gospel out. You know, keep outreaching. Talking about God, doing the work of the Lord. That stuff doesn't stop. Romans chapter 15. And in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We look at others ahead of our own. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification, or to be built up, edified. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You know, we read a couple of scriptures about study. So these things were written for our learning, that we may study them. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. You know? And it says there also like about patience and comfort, you know, now the God of patience. He wants us to be patient, long-suffering, meek, like-minded as Christ in whatever's going on in our life. You know, we continue to look to him. The strong bear the infirmities of the weak. It's actually good for the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's a good thing because it's tied up with what's written in the Bible. And those that are strong, that are bearing the infirmities of the weak, get a wonderful blessing out of that. And so we help each other. And it says that example, even Christ pleased not himself. You know, the reproaches that belonged to the people, he took on his own back. And that humility of God's ways being higher than our own. And that peace. And now, as well, verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth. You know, we're a collective. We have that one hope. We follow the one path. We worship the one Spirit. You know, follow the one God. And so we now with one mind and one mouth. And our mind is the mind of Christ, which is reflected in the Bible. The penultimate scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 14. Now we exhort you, there's that encouragement or edification. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded or the weak, support the weak, be patient, there's that patience toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. You know, this is a time to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. You know, don't hold it back. The Spirit, what we have in here is great power, and through that God wants to show his power here on earth. So don't quench the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do these things, rejoice evermore, keep praying, you know, keep doing the work of the Lord, not quenching the Spirit. You know, we're proving all things, we're holding fast in the things of God. And then it says there, we'll be preserved blameless unto the coming of Jesus Christ. And we understand in our mind, like we have our spirit, we're told from the Bible that through the Spirit we are without spot before God. God is a spirit, and those that have not the Spirit of God cannot please him. We've got the Spirit, so through the Spirit we know we're perfect before him. But let us carry on these things so that we may be preserved, that we may endure with patience, so that when Jesus comes back, we'll be going to be raised up to meet him in the air. Last scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. There's so many scriptures I could have read. I just restricted it to this dozen or so. But so many verses of encouragement for us to be there while these uncertain times are going, these surreal times are happening. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You know, we still have that calm mindset. We're not panicking like some may, but we're moderate, we're gentle. Let it be known unto all men. That's the testimony. The Lord is at hand. He's close. You know, as I said before, he's not sitting asleep in the back of the boat. He's with us, awake and interested in what's happening in our life. You know, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So that, when it says there, this peace of God will pass all understanding, and we shall be kept. Our hearts and minds shall be kept. We will not be lost, will not be cast aside. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And this peace thing keeps coming up. You know, the God of peace, God wants to remind us that he wants us to be at peace. The God of peace shall be with us and grant us peace. And it says there, in these things you've learnt, that you've received, that you've heard, you know, all these things that are reflecting what's written in the Bible, do, and then the God of peace shall be with you. So let's trust the Lord. We know he's got it in hand. We know it intellectually. Those that have been walking on for a long time and looking at the signs around, we know it intellectually, but to apply it deep within ourselves and have that calmness and know that God is the God of peace, you know, that's where we really are relying on him, regardless of what's going on around us. And I didn't go through the scriptures, but I mentioned earlier that passage where we can experience this God of peace that passes all understanding is receiving the Holy Spirit, is praying for this Holy Spirit, and you know you've got it when you speak in tongues. And we do have a baptism tank out there, and where people can be baptized, and we will we'll only baptize one person at a time. We'll drain the water, so there's fresh water to restrict the spread. So if anybody wants to get baptized, they certainly can today. And we'll make that happen. And then you can pray for the Holy Spirit. You can have this Holy Spirit dwelling in you. As it says elsewhere in the scriptures, it's the kingdom of God. And then you'll be granted that that peace that passes all understanding. Okay, it's just truly wonderful. And there's so many people here who can testify of that.